You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Our new programme has been developed in partnership between the English FA and Goalball UK to increase the number of women and girls taking part in sight loss sport. I'm joined now from Goalball UK by National Talent Lead Faye Dale Cook and by the FA's Talent Inclusion Lead Liam Drake. Welcome in both.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Faye, if I can start with you, tell us a bit about the aim of the Female Futures programme.
Yeah, so the aim really came about because both sports would like to see more females participating in sport and really to use it as a vehicle to try and encourage females to want to get involved in something, make a bit of a social group, make some new friends, hopefully enjoy the two sports that are on offer. And then for some of them be able to progress through our pathway systems, or they can go back to some of the clubs that we've got around the country for both sports. I also think it's really important to say about the partnership between the FA and Goalball UK through myself and Liam. It's probably the first of its kind that has happened. And I think it's hopefully a bit of innovation to kind of spark what sports can do together to try and encourage certain groups to get involved in sport and physical activity.
And you mentioned the partnership, Liam. How did it come about between yourselves at the FA and Goalball UK? How did it get started?
I think the main reason was myself and Faye are involved in a para talent forum, which is where a lot of para sports get together on a kind of probably a quarterly basis and just have conversations about how we can better develop para athletes. And one of the things that certainly I've been passionate about since I came into my role at the FA around about 3 years ago, but also I know Faye and Goalball are also passionate about as well, is that there is so much opportunity for talent transfer in para sports. There's opportunities for young athletes and older athletes as well to have dual pathways, play more than one sport at a high level. So rather than just expecting athletes to pick one sport at a young age and only play that sport, it was about how can we work together when we are effectively trying to work with the same target audience, and actually make sure that those athletes have an opportunity to play both sports. At some stage, they may choose one sport over the other, or vice versa. The sport actually might choose them because of their particular proficiency at one or the other. But we saw that if you give those athletes the best possible opportunities, the best possible experience, then they'll want to play hopefully more than one sport, but they will definitely want to play one of your sports if you give them the good opportunities to do so. And I think going back to the original question, the reason it came around was just because myself and Faye had these conversations and realised we were both kind of on the same hymn sheet, realised we both had that passion for young people and athletes to have a dual pathway opportunity, and thought, well, there's a way that we can do that together with the two respective sports that we work in.
There are some similarities that come to mind when you're thinking about the two sports, the player eye shields, a ball that makes sound. Faye, how do the sports actually compare? Is there a crossover of skills?
There's definitely a crossover in terms of tracking and listening and communication. This is where I think both sports having this partnership is a real opportunity for us to learn off each other as well, because there hasn't really been that cross-sport learning. So yeah, if we can take some stuff from football and they can take some stuff from us, that would be great. But it's the same transferable skills that both sports can but both sports need to be able to flourish.
Liam, is that a similar feeling from the FA's perspective? Are there times when you talk about other sports and maybe goalball specifically during training sessions?
I wouldn't say that we specifically kind of talk about other sports when we are training, but I'd agree with everything that Faye just said there in terms of the tracking, communication. You know, I think the other thing is there's agility in both sports. I think probably the agility might be slightly different in both sports, but it's still agility is needed. There's a little bit of bravery across both sports, I think, because you're either getting hit by a ball, or potentially in football, a player, or you're running into a board. So there is a little bit of that to kind of to take on board as well. But I think not just in football and goalball, I think there are transferable skills across other sports as well. And that's one of the bits that we have talked about in terms of future proofing this program is that we might actually look to work with other sports as well. We've already done some other work in one of our other para talent programs working with athletics, so I don't see any reason why in the future this couldn't be expanded out to work with other sports as well, thus increasing the opportunities but potentially also increasing the player pool, which is quite small for both sports.
Faye, tell us, how important is it for schemes like Female Futures to exist, to provide a pathway for young women and girls into sports?
I think it's huge. The Sport England This Girl Can campaign that's been going for a number of years now is put that to the forefront of everyone's attention, really. But I guess we've gone down to the granular of working in a very specific impairment group, which Sport England haven't got the ability to do that. But from what we've done at Global UK with our This Girl Can event, so once a year we run a This Girl Can event that is based in Birmingham, and anyone can, as long as they played previously, because it's a a very friendly competition environment. So you need to have some understanding really of the game, or at least been to a training session or something. What we found is that people are actually ultra competitive. So we thought it was just going to be a very nice day. Everyone's going to really enjoy themselves, make some friends, maybe make some links with other clubs and want to do something similar within there, or share some expertise and some opportunities. But what we found is that people want to be getting better at the sport. They want to be competitive. They want to be learning. They want to be developing. So this is like the natural progression for us. So the people that do want to take that next step, this is the opportunity for us as a Global UK performance pathway to work out actually who's got the ability to go to that next level. And if they have, then we've got a performance pathway system that they can link into and go to. If not, the fact that they're going to come along to the Female Future sessions and learn how to play football, learn how to play goalball, be in social groups, learn how to be coached. Like, are they actually coachable? Because that's quite a big thing within sport as well. And then if they don't want to go any further, then at least they've got some experience of these sports, and then they can go back and play domestically. If not, as well, like Liam said, we've got links with other sports, and if there's a different sport out there that they could be really good at, like let's find the route for them to go into that way as well. So I guess for me it's a pathway to open up, an opportunity to open up pathways for people and where they want to go and how what talent they've got and what they want to achieve as well.
Well, Faye, tell us about plans for the three upcoming training sessions. What can people expect?
So people can expect to come along with around 20 other females. There'll be staff from both sports there, which will be brilliant. It's like you say, it's the first time we've done something like this, so that'll be exciting in itself. We've got three fantastic venues, so the Royal National College for the Blind, we've got Nottingham Trent University and Lillishaw National Sports Centre. So we try to position it around different areas to try and hopefully make it more accessible for people as well. But when they get there, we're going to do quite a lot of intro, kind of getting to know people, working on communication to firstly kind of get people talking, because I think that's really important. Like, kind of, I know everyone hates them, but they're the whole icebreaker side of it. And then we'll go into sessions of football and goalball. People will be rotating. It's an overnight as well, which I think is really important. So we've got that social aspect. And then the second day, we'll go into the same sort of thing. So two sessions where people will be working on some of them skills that we mentioned earlier. But for some people, it'll be actually playing the sports for the very first time. So it could be really, really basic. Some people are a little bit further into their football journey or their goalball journey. Can we help them to increase their skills and their skill development as well?
And are there any requirements for who can take part? Do you need to be a certain age? Do you need to already be playing one of the sports or be known to one of the organisations, either the FA or Global UK?
Not really. The only thing we've probably put on is it just in terms of age, we've kind of said that players probably need to be around 14 plus, just with it being that overnight stay element. No particular experience required. We've already had plenty of inquiries from people who are coming from either one or the other sport. We've got people who are coming from other sports that perhaps are completely different to goalball and football. But no, at the minute there isn't kind of any real requirement other than, like I say, maybe a 14 plus age, just because of the overnight element. But yeah, we're hoping to identify, recruit and develop these athletes so that we're hoping that they can come to us potentially with no prior experience. And if that's the case, they can still develop. And we've got examples of players in our program, I'm sure Faye will have similar, where particularly because of the relative newness, if you like, of women's blind football, we've actually had players come into our program and within months be playing international football, because they've come in with a base level of fitness, a base level of orientation, and maybe sport transferable skills, and they've just then taken to it really well, and we've been able to work kind of quite concertedly with them to develop those skills and actually maybe that talent pathway at the minute. Particularly because there's not loads of players playing the game, there is an opportunity to progress quite quickly as well. So, it could be a chance for somebody to come into our program and accelerate through it quite quickly if possible. And we've got a World Championships in October, and you never know.
And as you say, the camps are overnight. Residential camps like these are now a fixture of all of the FA's para football sides, although often in warmer weather, Liam. How do camps like these help players?
I think Faye's touched on it. I think the overnight thing is, it's good from a sociable point of view, but also it does replicate that camp atmosphere. So you do have to kind of, you will have some downtime. It won't necessarily be huge amounts of downtime because we want to try and maximise the time on the pitch and on the court. But there will be times where you aren't training, or you're not in having a meal. So you do have to try and, what do you do with that time? Do you socialise with somebody else? Do you rest in your room? And so there is that little bit of sometimes, getting used to being away from home, getting used to kind of eating food that's maybe not been cooked by you or your parents or something like that. There's different elements that, if you come on a camp with England para football, or you go on a camp with goalball, doing it this way, it means that those elements of a camp aren't brand new. You've experienced them before, and sometimes that can be just as much of a challenge as being on the pitch. Sometimes being on the pitch or on the court is the bit that you enjoy. That's the experience that you love, because it's playing sport. And actually, it's when you step off the pitch or the court that the challenges can come, because whether it's homesickness or whether it's not being used to that bed or not being used to that food. So that actually that can prepare you for what might happen further down the talent pathway as well.
Liam, what do you hope the legacy of the Female Futures programme will be?
I think first of all, hopefully it'll be new athletes and new players coming into the two respective sports. But the other thing we're trying to do in terms of a legacy is we are working with Nottingham Trent University to do some research around developing a resource for visually impaired children and young people, parents and PE teachers and clubs, to try and develop and improve fundamental movement skills, physical literacy skills in young visually impaired athletes. What we found is quite often visually impaired athletes come to us, and goalball have identified the same, and probably haven't got the same level of fundamental movement skills that their non-impaired peers might have, just through the education they've maybe got through school sport and PE. So we try to identify what is it we can do to try and allow those young people to have better access to and better coaching of those fundamental movement skills and physical literacy at a younger age. And so hopefully this research and this resource will kind of fill that gap, and give people some really simple activities that they can be doing at home in their own back garden, or PE teachers can be delivering in school, so that if and when visually impaired young people start to play a sport, they have got some of those fundamental movement skills already in their toolbox.
Faye, where's
so
the
to
best
speak,
place to
to
find
allow
out more
them to
information
have a
about the
better
Female
crack at
Futures
playing new
programme and
sports
start to
as and
take
when that
part in
happens?
one of the camps?
You can go on the Goalball UK website, on any of our social media channels. You can send us an email for inquiries. You can contact myself. And any kind of social media really is definitely there and open. Liam, from the FA's point of view.
Yeah, equally from our perspective, probably my email address, so liam.drake@thefa.com, is probably the best port of contact, and I can send information out and point people in the right direction for where they can register.
From Goalball UK, Faye Dale Cook, and from the English FA, Liam Drake. We look forward to hearing more about the success of the camps in the future, and thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.